Blog Talk Radio.
That's coming on Monday, and I thought, oh, here we go. Well, we can wing it. And that's what we're going to do, so be patient here. We're going to go over how magnificent humanity is in the wake of yesterday. There were a lot of rests in the good old world yesterday, but magnificent humanity kept walking towards bridges and banks and corporate bullies, didn't they? Didn't they? I mean, good Lord, it's day 62, and guess what? Occupy Wall Street is still there. I mean, they are there. They're everywhere. It's Occupy the planet. If you haven't noticed, there's a revolution going on all across the world. It's really quite true. It's amazing when you see, you look back at the end of the day and you've got these wonderful tools that is more or less the global brain, the global consciousness, and you find out that there was a picture. I found a picture of somebody holding a OWS sign. It just said OWS on it in Beijing, China, okay? Beijing, China. There's an Occupy group in Beijing, China. They're saying the corporate greed is bad, too. The banksters are nasty bastards we have to kill. You know, no, I don't mean kill. I just mean, you know, wipe them off of the face of doing any kind of business. That's what I mean, particularly. I'm in a really good mood, energetically uplifted. I've taken my daytime cold medicine. And I want to remind you that the next big day of action I know about is December 10th, and it's about human rights, and it's beginning to get its flags, leaflets, and videos out there on the internet. You know, it's true, Sandy. I want to acknowledge my friends in the chat room, and that would be Too Cool Stimson. He's from Canada. Mike, thanks for dropping by. Sandy White's in there, and so is Janelle Green, who usually is lately, and I thank you all very much. Sandy, yeah, enough happened yesterday. Let alone, did you all hear about and see, I think Keith Olbermann had it on, but there are quite a few places you could see they had, somebody had some kind of strobe or light technology they were using across one of the high-rises on the, I think it was on the way to the Brooklyn Bridge from Foley Square area, and it kept flashing words like 99% occupy, all the buzz stuff on the good side of the road, and it was amazing. It really was amazing. What confounded me was we watched, and my sister and I did, all day long yesterday. My sister's becoming a media techno queen. At the same time that she is tweeting, I'm media handicapped this way. I've got to focus on one or the other. I can maybe skip between Facebook and Here Be Monsters or Blog Talk Radio, but my sister was handling like four different live streams and keeping current on every one of them and tweeting and keeping current with her tweets and all of the different Occupy groups and people in between that she follows and tweets with. Now, if you imagine sitting down to that and the lady just hit the old Broads Club, she's doing all of this. I'm totally fascinated and spellbound by her doing that yesterday, but the upshot is she knew when people were trying to get on the bridge in Portland. She knew when people were actually being pushed with barricades in Zuccotti Park yesterday, and she was hipping me to all of it as I sat here and worked, and I thought, my God, everybody is hooked into this. And, you know, most of the folks, that I know were, my friend Tracy, the teleprompter, was teleprompting at a corporate event for NASCAR all day long yesterday, and she plugged in. She was tweeting and keeping current with all of the different events as they were happening, from arrests in Dallas and arrests down here in Miami, and arrests that were ongoing. The police captain early on from Philadelphia who got arrested close to in front of Wall Street yesterday as it was all going on in his dress blues. That was pretty cool. That made for him sitting down against the wall, being, you know, under the action of getting arrested, really spoke a lot. It spoke volumes about what was going on yesterday. So, I mean, hell. It was a great photo. Shake, rattle, and roll right across the planet. I mean, can you imagine that? I'm still trying to fit that into the consciousness so that it walks with me every day in a comfortable way that expands who I am. I know that somebody in Beijing, China is working on the same goal and motivated the way I am. I'm like blown away. This is a wonderful, you know, that's the cream of my coffee, another era song for Mike Stimson. You're the cream of my coffee. You know that one, Mike? We could play that. We could get there today. This is Friday. I did put up after the little scheduling snafu that everyone should have a cocktail about now. Smoke if you got them, people. So we're just wrapping it up. We're saying, hey, this is my commitment. I do this every damn day, and it's not only me. I have to give it up for Dusty Taylor at leftwingnutjob.net. Dusty is, by her own definition and a lot of people out there, she is hell's most vocal woman. She does Tuesdays, and she did Thursday for me this week also, helping me to get a little bit better in shape. I'll tell you what, I did not hear because I was actually taking a nap her show yesterday, but I have no doubt it was wonderful. And also, P.E. Nolan or Tricia Poole will come on and do Saturdays a lot of times for me. So I have a lot of help here. I'm very grateful. And this is all about just offering some solidarity for Occupy Wall Street and the whole Occupy movement. Anybody is invited and is open to come here or send an email or find us in Journey for Roundtree 7 on Facebook and say, I've got an issue or a goal or something in the community, or even just tell us what's going on in your life. I hear that, Mike. Just to be a part of the solidarity of what we're all reaching for. There is a goal here, and I think that the October 2011 crowd said it well when they said people's needs over corporate greed, because if we got there, the first thing we'd begin to think about is the longevity of our children and our future, and that would lead us back to the Earth Mother and what's going on with her right now. So, you know, hey, pretty cool. Of course, you know, on the other side, when I put my other hat on, the one I wear most of the time, I'm into the whole New Age booga-booga thing. So for me, this is like, wow, the calendar has rebooted. We've gone through AHA 13, and here we are. We're at evolution point. So I'm real happy. Yesterday was a wonderful day for humanity. I can only think of one word that describes what actually happened yesterday, and that's magnificent. Just, hadn't we all forgotten how good it feels to make a point to say there, you know, just to say there with the big exclamation point, we actually got, and so it's like watching all of these hanyaks that think they're running the whole ship come to a little moment of awareness that says, hey, wait a minute. They're not kidding here. Well, no, I guess not. New York City, the jewel in the crown yesterday, of course, Occupy Wall Street. I guess they can't figure out whether it was more than 20,000 people, maybe even to 30,000 people who were there, and then there's other a whole group of other calculations, but you got to give it up. All of those people in New York, by the time they got, and there was a young man who, Tim, who had his Ustream camera and was going everywhere all day and chronicling the whole event. My, what? It was incredible. It was art and culture in motion. Yesterday, New York was art and culture in motion. So was Portland. So was Los Angeles. I mean, so was London, and so was Madrid. There were things going on, and of course, the streets of Athens, Greece, and it was just magnificent humanity. That's what was going on. So we're still here, America, and if you haven't noticed, the revolution is afoot. We usually say something else about that. And as I said, December 10th is a day of action for human rights and Occupy the Planet movement. So please remember that. And always, always, please show up and back up the 99%, the Occupy group near you. This is actually, I haven't said so yet, this is Here Be Monsters. And I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry on the Atlantic side of Florida. I'm part of the 99%. Every day that Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Palm Beach and occupiers around this, like I said, good old world are occupying, I'm going to be here. We're not what you would call a show that's reaching to be something more than just giving a voice to whoever needs it in the moment to bring knowledge to the social consciousness. We're not a group of personalities or cult persona folks that are miking this thing. We're more of a people's mic here. I'm very hopeful. I hope we're getting that done. And as I said before, Dusty Taylor and P.E. Nolan give me a great big hand in getting that done. So I'd like to give up some real love and appreciation for them and get back to reading my intro copy. You know, you got to script this stuff. I was just, almost everything that I just said was off the cuff. And it can get out there, but I think I had a moment or two in there. I see that I ate up like about 14 minutes doing that. Well, I'll tell you what. So December 10th, please mark it down. It's human rights. It's a day of action for human rights. And please, please remember that human rights also means your environment and the vitality of your environment. What's the health of your community? And by your community, I would mean the river running through your town, the trees in your front yard, the dumpster out in back of the strip mall, all of the dumpsters out there. It's time for us to think with a lot more responsibility, or perhaps we always have and been too frustrated because no one does anything. Well, I think the energy is there now for us to just sort of be responsible. I don't mean you go around and keep your eyes open and make it your life's message and work because you can't. That would cost you what you have to survive, I know. But if we keep vigilant, just in mind, when we see something wrong and we mention it, that's an energy that sends it on down the line that probably stirs. It's like the pebble that goes in the pond and the endless ripples and the physics and that. I got that set too, didn't I? So we're going to press ahead energetically and talk with Cherie on Monday with Operation People for Peace. They got a lot going on. I'm also going to mention, because I started Here Be Monsters online on Blog Talk Radio, and any of y'all, feel free to call in if you would like. At any time, I started Here Be Monsters mainly to bring, as the logo you see actually portrays, to bring an awareness to the horrible injustice and the defilement of our nation, the southeast of this country, from the Gulf oil spill and all of the issues and all of the manifest results of what's gone on. It's hard to really put it all into some kind of a tagline because... I got to tell you, if you knew how many people down here were getting sick, how the southeast is suffering, how the oil is back in the ocean and coming to shore, and how the United States Coast Guard right now is out there again spraying it down with Corexit, which has made people sick enough to, we're losing, I don't know how large the death count is now on humanity. It's untelling what the death count is on the animal life. And, pardon me, and the incredible toll that it's taken to our wetlands and our water aquifers and the dry tortugas and the sea grasses that extended between most of what is the end of the Keys and Cuba now, and it's dying. And now I'm seeing it on my shoreline. Things are dying. They're washing up. People aren't speaking too much about it because that wouldn't be corporate messaging, would it? Wouldn't be good corporate messaging. Anything that gets in the way of the motherfucking profits gets axed. You can buy that. I think we saw the MSM liars at work big time yesterday. I was the one who was walking into the bedroom every now and then, and I left the television on, and I turned the sound down, and then I go in and turn it on, put it on CNN. I was appalled at what I was hearing. And then I'd switch over to MSNBC, and even Andrea Mitchell was confusing me. I didn't think that it went. And then last night, just for shits, grins, and giggles, I listened to the opening of Maddow, who I used to really adore. I mean, she was so fabulous, and she's still a great teacher. But I went over there, I went into the bedroom, and I went over to MSNBC, and I listened also to Rachel Maddow last night, and the best she could do was talk, you know, bridges in conjunction. Mike, I get you there. Liars is a bit harsh. You prefer dissemblers. It sounds classier. I hear what you're saying. I really do. No, I was saying before is that Rachel Maddow did not really take the real time with what Occupy. She couldn't go by it completely. Well, she's just no Keith Olbermann, I guess, because she has an impediment. The impediment to her telling her side of news for the day is a corporate paycheck, is what I'm thinking. It's just so displeasing. But the best she could do was bridges. Well, yes, Occupy Boston did their bridge march. Everybody was doing their bridge marches yesterday, but she was talking about infrastructure and how Obama was working hard to get in. I mean, do we have to send her some embroidered hand quilts for wiping his ass? That's my question. That would be my conversation today. Of course, Mike, I'm sure you can gussy up that line a whole lot better. That was a disappointment, basically, is what I'm saying. So you got to show up, and you've got to occupy the 99% is who you are, so you have to fill it up, and that's what we're doing here. This is, as you probably well have guessed, a boycott of the MSM dissemblers networks, and we're going to be on every damn day that there is and Occupy still something out there, because we're doing this in solidarity. And it's part of a drumline of Blog Talk and small radio shows and larger, like Progressive News Network with Rick Spezak. And we have Pinko the Bear on and Wild Wild Left and Nicole Sandler's Part of It or Not is also on this network and drumline of all the different folks that are listening in. I wanted to mention, as I'm doing a recap of yesterday, basically I'm just saying, rawr, it was wonderful, it did something right. An interesting thing has been taking place for the last year, and everything comes to bear. It has a magnetic effect on us, part of our solar system, but I didn't know if anyone has been watching, but out there's a storm on the planet Saturn, and it's as big as eight of us, okay, Earth size, or eight Earths in size. And, of course, I'm reading this right off the page. It's still raging, and it has been for nearly a year. That's pretty wicked. It's covered nearly most of the planet. It's a 200-day active period, and it also makes it the longest-lasting planet-encircling storm ever seen on the planet Saturn. And there have been quite a few, but never one so long and so full. Well, you know, Saturn is supposed to signify the life, death, and rebirth trilogy of how life works in this universe. So I think that was pretty fascinating and something to talk about right on time, right on time. I have an astrologer who may be able to put a little clarity to that. Are you with me, Tracy?
Hello?
Yeah, I got you on.
Oh, hi there. I have not heard the beginning of the show. So I've checked up to date what you were talking about.
Basically, I had congratulated Magnificent Humanity for yesterday's wonderful Occupy success all over this country and really all over the world. And then I was beginning to just, because I had, as I told you, I had my guest cancel, and I thought, well, we'll fly with it, we'll do what we can. And so I had just begun to talk about what I found today. I found a piece of news about planet Saturn having the longest lasting planetary around the whole planet storm going on in any known history of astronomy.
Oh, it's that been big going storm that's going on Saturn?
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
I'm sorry?
Is that the one, there's that huge, huge storm on
yeah.
the planet Saturn? Is that what you're talking about?
I am, yes, I was talking about that, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that there's this big storm on the planet that represents the people on Earth, what you need to learn.
Well, and in my chat room, people are asking if anybody is aware of how many banks actually got occupied yesterday. I haven't seen a number of how many actually got occupied, but I know that banks were occupied, more than one in the major cities, but in many small towns in this country, there were several banks that were occupied.
Right. Yeah, there were quite a few. Yesterday was a busy, busy, busy day.
I also want to congratulate Sandy White for being a part of the action yesterday and being in one. Thank you, Sandy.
Wow.
Yeah,
I can't wait to occupy my first bank.
Let me ask you, which bank would you occupy if you were given the opportunity to occupy a bank? There's a group going. Which bank would you look at first?
Well, since Citibank pretty much owns me, probably Citibank. I'd like to see the buildings that I'm helping build and decorate.
Well, it was a lot happened yesterday. I'm wondering, I know you kept up with a lot of it on your iPad, yeah?
Yesterday I did. Today I haven't at all. I just literally sat.
What were you finding the most interesting yesterday?
The amount of people down in New York and what was going on, and that they were going over the bridge one more time, I thought that was pretty fascinating. To go back to not where it started, but where it started to get its global recognition of the movement.
You're right, The huge arrest. They didn't try any of that yesterday. Them pushing them out of Zuccotti Park got them a lot more attention, didn't it?
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, every time, you know, it seems to backfire on them. They don't know what to do because, you know, they're still playing, you know, the old way, and they don't know how to play this way. You've got a lot of people who are still, you know, doing 20th century tactics, and you've got a 21st century crowd of protesters, and they don't know what to do.
That's probably quite true, but, you know, if you were paying attention, Debbie was the media maven yesterday. I could not believe how much she was doing. I talked about that at the beginning of the show. She was enabled with both the internet screen in front of her to actually keep tabs on
everything.
Able to keep tabs on four ongoing events, Portland, Boston, New York, and one other, I think it was Los Angeles, and she had different Ustream and live streams going and different camera people that she, you know, she was introducing me to the awesomeness of Tim and his Ustream throughout New York all of yesterday. That was incredible what that young man did. He chronicled with his camera, and I think he has one of these cameras like you see the Army guys wearing that's probably like, you know, the thing you wear for your phone, you know, on his over ear. That's what I think he had, but he was chronicling. He was not just, you know, photographing. He was explaining everything that happened as he walked along and was standing in front of events on the front line.
Somebody has to. I mean, you know, if we waited for our reporters and, you know, people things like this, there would be no documentation.
Oh, no. He and Tim, and there's been incredible. There was a young man last weekend that was through all of the bad Denver arrests, and this poor fellow's battery kept going out, and he was on Ustream, and he had to go back to his car every time and charge it, you know, off of the thing from the battery, from the engine going. It was incredible what he was doing.
Oh my goodness.
A whole new art and a whole new culture is being born before our eyes. I don't know if folks really are cluing into that as much as they are all the wonderful advances that are going on in the moment that say, you know, there's a voice of intelligence in this planet that has been wanting to speak out against just exactly.
Well, it's still surprising since we're so aware of it and we go seek the information, but people that I come in contact with, you know, outside of Occupy, they really don't hear about it because, of course, it's not being reported on that much. And they don't go seek it out. They really are totally misinformed about what it is. And so I like to educate them, whether they like it or not. And it's kind of hard because I work with corporate America. And the crew people mostly are liberals at heart, and it's amazing how many of them don't know about it, and they have the same misconceptions. It's mind-boggling.
That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. A little while ago, we did have the guys always are in and out of the conversation on the weekdays because of work, I think. But Mike Stimson, who's one of our writers over at Roundtree, he's Canadian, but he always is speaking, making the back and forth about the corporate and how much people do not know. You know, if they don't realize that the MSM is corporate messaging, they know it somewhere in, like, it's almost like an invisible genetic code. Do you know what I mean? If you're in media, you've got to realize somewhere something's off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, with the corporate people that I work with, I'm very careful about my stance because, I mean, I've been kicked off of jobs because I have worked. I never said what I believed in. I just mentioned that I worked for, you know, a presidential candidate, you know, and I was ordered never to be seen in their conventions again.
Oh,
thank you,
Steve.
And PGA, the golf people.
they don't
like Democrats.
Well, and the funny part is, the really funny part about all of it is that these are the same folks that will say it's America, you are what you make of yourself. And it's this kind of hypocrisy from them that has banked the embers that have now that are now rolling to a core and building a huge inferno in the middle of the cauldron. You know what I'm saying?
Slightly. Clear it up. I've been painting all day.
I'm saying, I hear that. I'm saying that basically the corporate messaging is gotten so thin, especially, it always has been to pretty intelligent folk who want to know what's going on with what they're buying and how they're living. And you know, they have a sense of responsibility born out of care for more than just what's covering their ass. They have a community sustainability sensibility, if you will. Did that make sense? That did make sense. That's not bad. But I'm saying that the hypocrisy of, like, a company that will, you know, ban you from working because you're a Democrat or a liberal, will ban you from working with them, are still the same people who insist that it's fucking America. There's the dream. You can make of it what you want, you know, which is an outright lie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree. I mean, some of the corporate messaging within their own structures, I mean, I hear those speeches, you know, a lot. About how, I mean, I've seen a CEO stand in front of a group of people telling them that they were going to have to give up seeing their kids' soccer games because they have to go out and sell more, while in that hotel, he was listed as one of the top 10 CEO highest paid guys in the state of Florida. And, you know, I kind of let the writer know, hey, you know, he's going to go out there and say these words while everybody in their room has a magazine saying how much money he has. And
yeah.
I said, do you want to alter this at all? And he's like, no, this is what needs, you know, this is what he wants to say. And it's just balls in your face.
Yeah.
You know, just total disregard of.
Yeah, and I think he just said exactly what America has been undergoing, balls in their face. That's good, Tracy. that basically, you haven't even hit cocktail hour yet, have you?
Well, yes, I have, but it's only 10 minutes in.
that is excellent because I think that sums up pretty well just exactly how people have been feeling about this.
Well, I mean, it started a long time ago, but the formula was pretty much perfected with Karl Rove and the Bush administration. Remember, I kept on saying they keep on doing things right out in the open, and people kind of say to themselves, well, it can't be wrong if they're doing it right in front of us, because people usually think wrong things are done in the back rooms. God only knows what they were, you know, stirring up in the back rooms, but everything that this government and corporate America has been doing has been right in front of our faces.
Well, yeah, and folks were willing to put up with it because they were more willing to buy the pipe dream that there was no environmental hazard, even though in 1972 we all saw the campaign for, you know, litter to pitch in. Remember that?
I still have my McDonald's little patch they used to sell on Earth Day, for Earth Day.
I remember when McDonald's went all paper, which wasn't too long ago, actually. But the thing is that when that pitch-in campaign and that was those wonderful series of commercials, television commercials with the Native American in the canoe coming up the river.
That's right. He was Italian. The actor
was
Italian.
Yeah, he was an actor. Yeah. But it doesn't dismiss the drama or the effect. And I got to tell you, I think that the folks who generate towards General Assembly and who are very creative within the Occupy movements, wherever they are, I think these folks are very well, they were raised on this kind of drama. Do you know what I mean? Weren't you?
I'm of this generation of, we were raised we saw the Brady Bunch first run. We still had to get up and turn the TV dial. We remember that.
Yeah, but more so the people who are very much at the center of the core of this are just, a generation out of college or two maybe. But we have a lot in common with them, this creative nature, which I think has been so suffocated because
They've been sold that they have to go to college. Or their life is going to be, for crap. They have been sold that they have to.
And Sandy is noticing in the chat room right now. Sandy is saying that back in the 70s, the mainstream media did show us a lot more. You'd think with all the cable stations that are out there now, we would find real journalists and real news. That's the other thing, though. That's the greed and the me generations that are basically invested in their own vanity because they think everybody can be a star or can, sell a record or this is something.
Get a reality show and become rich and famous.
Right, and I think that has a lot to do with the lack of credential and due diligence in, this is Randolph Hearst's greatest moments, kind of, because it was his brand of yellow journalism, that basically, a lot of that established, and you can go back and you can say turn of this last century print was very sensationalist and very, if it bleeds, it leads. I won't argue with you, but it certainly produced Molly Brown, and it produced Upton Sinclair. It produced people who became journalists to write for more fully, like Papa Hemingway,
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those kind of people are back. And they're on the, when I was in school, I remember my mom buying me my first Hunter S. Thompson book, The Great Shark Hunt. I wanted to be a gonzo journalist. That's all I wanted to do.
I remember that.
And now look at who Matt Taibbi represents to thinking people in this country. He's a gonzo, he's Hunter S. Thompson School of Journalism, man. And he's saying, look what's going on. And you are the one who really introduced me to how thorough and detail-oriented and yet easy to read Matt Taibbi is.
He doesn't try to impress you with how he writes. He just writes what is.
Right. If he gets it wrong, if he surmises, projects, and gets it wrong because he tends to editorialize, he always steps up first and says what he learned from it, which is mm-hmm. like, That's due diligence. That's a kind of journalism. That's really Gonzo and Upton Sinclair and all the good ones, you know, all of the good ones. And I think
today, I mean, people to sift through, I mean, this whole generation growing up, think, you know, watching any cable news or network news, they're seeing
they don't watch
the reporters who give an opinion. And we've had this conversation many times. I go nuts when a reporter gives their opinion on the situation. It's like, no, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. This whole generation, what it correlates to is that, you know, everybody has an opinion, but they seem, for some reason, their opinion really, really super matters, and it really, really, you know.
Well, I have to say, I always generally agree and enjoy hearing whatever Keith Olbermann's commentary is on a situation.
He is a commentator, but I'm talking about a journalist, a commentator, you know, that sort of manner. Somebody who is, you know, reading prompter in the camera report, you know, giving the news, and they sit there and give their opinions. Keith Olbermann, he's a reporter, but he's also a commentator, and there's a big difference between the two.
Well, if you want just straight reporting, you should be able to rely upon it at places like Democracy Now!, who is the best, in my opinion. And also, you could go over to NBC and listen to Brian Williams, or you can go to CBS to Katie Couric. She's not there anymore, but you know what I mean. Or ABC. MSNBC is a commentary-laden cable news show, and it was established, actually, by Olbermann, and that's basically what it is. It's meant to be. They've never meant to be straight news. There's no such number on their list, and neither is, well, Fox is lying. It's always lying. Some of it's
Fox is just, it's a mystery to me. It really is.
No, it shouldn't be. It's a media branch of a PR machine for the Republican Party.
I understand that part of it, but it's just how they get away with it and say those things.
Oh, you can see Bill Riley when he's doing it. He's pulling something right out of his butt as a fact. You know, it's an outright lie right there, right then. And, you know, he just bravados his way through it. And when he gets proven, you know, within the next 20 minutes on another show, he's proven to be, you know, people don't really, they don't go and they don't hear that. They're just fascinated by one. And Fox News, I think, got its glory because it wasn't, if it bleeds, it leads. And they had that one-upsmanship going on that enabled them, which was money, that enabled them to have so many contacts in so many places. They really, when Murdoch began his news empire, it was always about, you know, the dirty side of the coin. But good Lord, he has made it an art form. And of course, now he's going to come, and he and his son are be under indictment in two countries for what they've done, corrupt and criminal.
Good.
Actually,
it's beyond criminal. It really is beyond criminal. I mean, for, you know, it's just that whole adage, you know, people who own those kind of companies, they surround themselves with so many yes people, and they're so out of touch with reality. They wouldn't know it if, you know, they stuck their head in a bowl of Jell-O. They really wouldn't.
no, they wouldn't. They basically
because they do surround themselves with people who are scared to death of them. They will not tell them the truth. And I see this time and time again. It was really bad in the 90s. And it's that's how they think life is. They have no concept of what real life is. And even on somebody like Oprah, okay, who is in touch with the people, and she was doing a show on healthcare, and she was doing the show on the different tests you can get and all the imaging of the heart and all this sort of thing. And she came back and she said, you know, I had no idea that not everybody could get these kind of tests. She had no concept that the average American cannot walk in and get a 3D imaging of their heart.
Well, you know, yes.
So new. It's their little reality that they live in. And, you know, even people like her who think that people say whatever to her, but they don't. Are you really going to speak to her? No.
Well,
they get told what they
true.
Want to hear.
Okay. I appreciate that. I want to recap what I can of Wall Street yesterday for Sandy and the rest, because we've got about 9 minutes left here, and it's interesting, and I'm trying to pick it up real quick off of the net. And it started out with about 1,000 protesters at the New York Stock Exchange yesterday, but it really did swell into I think that I'll go with the conservative estimate, which was I think 20,000 at Foley Square and going across the Brooklyn Bridge. There were
now I heard 32,000.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you're there to provide the counterpoint. we actually, there was over 300 arrests in New York City yesterday that directly connected to Occupy. And the police officer who got hit with the glass needed 20 stitches. Los Angeles, 500 marched to the downtown Bank of America and the Wells Fargo Plaza. Now, most cities yesterday, to my best of my knowledge, and Debbie's intrepid reporting of what she was watching was all about getting to bridges or occupying banks. And so Sandy and Janelle have been talking about how many banks actually were. Well, I don't know how many, but that was the main thrust of yesterday. In New York, the financial shutdown in the morning, and actually Occupy Wall Street ended up closing early yesterday, so its people could get home because of all the people that started pouring into the city. Did you hear about the young women who left Norfolk, Virginia, and their Occupy camp of 100 people there to join the protest in New York and made it to Foley Square last night?
I have not heard anything about it. What was it about?
That was a fabulous, fascinating story about how people are making pilgrimages to these events to support the whole Occupy movement. It's incredible. It's wholly inspiring. I mean, good Lord. Our little crowd, that would be us, Occupy Palm Beach County, took a bus yesterday very early in the morning to Miami to back up Occupy Miami and be in front of the Fed. And they were able to do that. There were arrests down there. I have no idea yet how many. I haven't heard from John or the people at Occupy Palm Beach, the comeback, yet, because I don't think everybody's actually back yet. But
well, it should be an interesting time, especially this week for Miami, because you have all of NASCAR down there. this weekend. So it would be interesting.
You know, it's funny. Huffington Posts are saying, I see that Bloomberg had said they could be expecting as many as 10,000 protesters. You know how Commissioner Kelly toned it down. They got themselves a regular Tammany Hall going on up there, don't they? I mean,
they do.
I mean, when Bloomberg was elected again, I said, you people, New Yorkers, are going to put up with this kind of crap? Not New Yorkers I used to know when I lived down there. I mean, they wouldn't put up with that kind of political, you know, jumping around. They just wouldn't have done it.
It's going to get a lot more clear. I mean, Neptune has gone direct, and so that psychic fog, you know, collectively has been lifted. It's direct now. So more of, you know, visions can come through instead of just the cloud, the fog that has been going on. And I think, you know, right now people are just at a place where, you know, they weren't asked to do anything after 9/11. You know, the only thing they were asked to do was to go shop. And now it's almost nobody's asking to do protesting for Occupy, but it's an innate human desire when things are wrong to go, how can we help? What can we do? And we were kind of patted on the head 10 years ago, and now it's swelling up where people have found an avenue to do something.
Yes, and I have to say hats off to Adbusters and Anonymous and all of the people who actually rushed in to New York on the 17th, just a fabulous, fabulous, magnificent group of humanity that has anchored this, and we go on. Hey, we're out of time. I'm going to play a little ditty to get us out of here. You might enjoy it.
Is it Murrow Turning Over in His Grave by Lindsey Buckingham?
No, it isn't. It's actually what I came in on, a little piece of Pink Martini, which is one of my favorite groups. And it's just an uplifting little 30s-style song. I'm actually losing my voice. I feel fine, but I am losing my voice and having other little things happen from this dang thing. Anyways. I appreciate all my guests and all of in the chat room, and Sandy, you're a trooper. Sandy White, I applaud you. You are a wonderful Occupy American. Thank you for everything you did yesterday. I was here keeping my roof overhead with my business, but I really appreciate what you did. Thank you. And Tracy, thanks so much for calling in. Really, really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Always, always. So I'll play. You have to let me know what you think of this little ditty sometime on Thanksgiving Day, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
This is Here Be Monsters, and we'll be with you tomorrow sometime. The time will come up. I don't know if it'll be me or it'll be P.E. Nolan, but one of us will be here to update you. And Sandy, we will be trying to find out how many banks actually were occupied. It's a great, great question. been here, Mima. Thank you for listening. Be here tomorrow.